this happened back in 2014 and is one of the scariest things that's happened to me. Now, I'm not going to say specifically where I live, but I live in an area that has beautiful mountainous regions and clear lakes. I live probably only half a mile from this, so very often I'll drive up with me and Winston, my dog, and we'll take a lovely long walk along this trail. Now I do this very regularly, probably 5 times a week. I don't really care how long I'm out for, because it's such a beautiful sight, and to be honest, I just like being alone in my thoughts. So I was walking along this trail, probably around 7 p.m, when I see a man in the distance. Now, it's not necessarily uncommon to see people on this path, but it's also not common, so I'm always a little bit wary, but for the most part, the majority of people are fine, so I just kept walking. The man was a distance away, so I wasn't too concerned. We keep walking and take another path. Now, to describe this path a little bit, it's one of those paths with lots of little stones and rocks on it, so you can hear people coming behind you. Obviously, there's not many people on this path, so I can't hear anybody, but sometimes Winston can be a little bit noisy, and he just barks at random birds and whatnot. Sometimes he even barks at leaves. He's kind of weird like that. So we're walking along the path for another half an hour, when Winston stops and barks in the distance. He's pointing his nose just to the left, and I can't really figure out what he's barking at. I just shrug it off as he's barking at pretty much nothing, as always. Then I see some movement just behind a tree, really far in the distance. I'm kind of confused, but I shrug it off as it's probably a deer or something, I don't really know. By this point it's kind of late, so I decide to turn back and walk back to where our car is. So as I'm walking back, it's pretty much pitch black at this point. I'm just trying to follow the path and get us back to the car safely. That's when I hear footsteps behind me. Like I say, you have like pebbles and rocks on the ground near me, so you can hear when people are coming behind you. It didn't sound like it was too far in the distance though this time. It sounded as though the person was 15 feet behind me maybe? I can't really tell. I turned around and lo and behold, I see a man, maybe the same man that I saw in the distance earlier, walking back behind me. Maybe he was just walking the same direction as me. I don't really know, but nonetheless, I was a bit creeped out. So I decide to take an alternative path that I know leads back to my car. So I turn off on this path and the man keeps going the same way, so there's nothing to worry about. He's gone as far as I'm concerned. That's when Winston stops and barks again, but I didn't hear anything behind us. Suddenly, I see the man is about 20 or 30 feet in the distance. That's when I get scared. I pick up Winston because he's a really small dog, and I run as fast as I can down the trail. At this point, I drop down and hide behind this big broken log. Now I say log, it's more of a tree trunk, and I stay completely silent, try not to give away my breathing, and hopefully Winston doesn't make any noise either. That's when the man jogs past and stops for a moment, looking around. I can feel my heart in my mouth as I'm praying that Winston doesn't bark and notice what's going on. I keep stroking his head, and we're just looking up at the man, looking around to figure out where we went. That's when he just takes off and continues on down the path. I leave it maybe 15 minutes, and then slowly walk back to my car. Thankfully, the man was nowhere to be seen. Now, I drive home, and I'm pretty spooked out. I feel stupid for putting us in this situation in the first place, as we shouldn't have gone out that late. Thankfully, nothing ever came of this situation, but I don't know why that man was running after us, or following us in the distance. Hi everyone, it's me again. I actually forgot to mention that I had another scary experience on this exact same path just 2 years prior to this incident. Now, for those of you who didn't read my previous post, this area that I live in has beautiful scenery. There's a mountainous region and beautiful clear lakes all around. I live probably only half a mile from this, and I drive up and walk my dog Winston there normally, but sometimes I just go on my own. This time, I was just going on my own. So I pull up and step out onto the path. I want to provide you with some scenery for what happened. I want to provide you with a picture of what this place looks like. So you step out. You're initially on this rocky path that has pebbles, rocks, and stones of all different sizes on it. The kind of trail where you can hear people walking behind you. There's a steep rock face that is probably at a 45 degree angle that leads to a lovely clear lake. And all around, there's these vast areas of mountains. Now, the path that you're on, of course, initially looks big where you're standing, but the more you look into the distance, the more you can see the path getting smaller and smaller as it loops and weaves around different areas of the mountainous regions, and you see it spring up in different areas that you didn't see before. It's a really lovely, beautiful path, and to be honest, I appreciate it so much. So, I start walking on this path. This is winter time, and the ice lake is completely frozen over. The rocks are really slippery, and there's not many people about. Now, I don't know if it's just me being stupid and not going out at the right time, or if I just love avoiding people and like being on my own, but I always seem to go out at late at night or around this time of year. So, I'm walking around this winding path, and I walk for probably 2 or 3 miles with my headphones in, just enjoying myself. Now, me being stupid, I get a little bit too close to where the rock face leads down at a 45 degree angle to the water, and I trip and fall down. I roll down probably 15 feet, 20 feet or something, and normally on any other day, I would land in the water, get up, shrug it off, and just be a little bit embarrassed for the rest of the day. But this time, I actually twisted my ankle, and I get up, and my ankle's throbbing, and I can't put any weight on it. This isn't the only bad thing. As I say, this is a particularly rocky path, and it's hard to walk uphill on at the best of times, let alone when you've fallen down off the side of the path, and all the rocks are icy. I try and get back up, but I can't seem to get my footing, and I keep sliding back down. Not to mention the pain of twisting my ankle. And as I mentioned earlier, no one really goes for walks at this time of year on the path because it's pretty dangerous and freezing cold outside, so I'm on my own. After about 20 minutes of trying to figure out how to get up and going 2 foot forwards and 3 foot back, I start to panic. I really don't know what I'm going to do in this situation, and my phone has no reception at all. I start to think of what would happen if I didn't get back for Winston, and if no one even knew I was here. What about when night sets and it gets even colder? What if I get hypothermia? I don't know what to do. So, it's almost as though survival mode kicks in my brain. I decide the best way out is to stay calm and think of a plan. On the frozen lake, I can see there's a big stick sticking out of it, probably only 3 foot away from where I am. I grab it and pull it as hard as I can and rip it from the water. So what I do from this point is sort of scoop myself up 2 or 3 foot and dig the stick into the ground and push with my good foot and push myself up a little bit further. It takes me maybe 20 minutes to get to the top of where I started, but it takes me maybe 20 minutes to get back up onto the trail, but I managed to do it. And with my ankle throbbing and completely swollen, and I'm so cold and exhausted, I make it to the top. It takes me another hour and a half or so to hop my way back to my car and get in. At this point, I can barely feel my fingers, and I'm so cold and in pain. I turn my car on, put the aircon on, and just sit there for a while, just trying to heat myself up. Despite my ankle being in absolute agony, I manage to drive my car back home and get back inside. Now, I know that many of you are going to say this is my fault and that I'm stupid, and I completely agree. I shouldn't have gone out on my own without telling anyone where I was, and I shouldn't have gone so close to the edge of the path. This could have ended a lot worse, in my opinion, and I know it's not going to be as scary as many other stories you read on here, but to me, it was one of the scariest things that's happened to me, and I'm always more cautious when going out at this time of year. This happened when I was younger, and the thought of it still scares me to this day. So, I and a lot of my friends when school was out used to go over this park and just chill out, We used to play football and card games and just hang out and do whatever we wanted to do. We stayed here probably 5 hours of the day and just did whatever we wanted to and just enjoyed our freedom. I had a friend that lived close to the park, so sometimes we'd go back to his house and just hang out and play some Xbox and order pizza and have drinks or whatever. But we always ended up going back to the park and just playing and hanging out. Anyway, at around 6 or 7 p.m., they locked up the gate to this park so no one could get in. Me and two other of my friends decided this might be a good time to jump over the gate and just have an explore. Now, looking back, I don't know what we were exploring. We used to spend all day every day in this park, so it was just exactly the same, just dark. But one of my friends mentioned that there was another area that he'd never been to. Now, this area was even further back than we used to play our games, and it led to a gate that had a warning sign on it. So we walked up and peered through the bars. It looked like it was just some kind of junkyard or something. We couldn't really figure out what it was, but there were warning signs and security signs all over, so I didn't think it was a good idea. Anyway, despite me not thinking it's a good idea, my two other friends thought it was a great idea. So even despite me warning them not to, they decided that they were going to jump over and said what's the worst that could happen. So they jumped over the gate, which, to be honest, I didn't want to do because of the spikes on the top, but they convinced me and I jumped over. Now, we were just having a wander around when a huge spotlight came on. That's when things went downhill quickly. All of a sudden, I heard a door open and a man shouting. I couldn't figure out what he was saying because my heart was beating so fast, and then I heard dogs barking. Me and my friends decide that we're going to quickly run round to the area that we jumped over and get back over the gate and sprint back. But as we did this, the man spotted us and fired a gun in the air. That's when we knew that this was a really bad situation and we'd broke into a place that we definitely shouldn't have. So all three of us jumped over the gate as quickly as we could with the dog running up to us and the man shouting and running too. We jumped over, our hearts in our mouths, and started sprinting back towards the gate that we came from. The man unlocked the gate and let the dog out, and the dog was chasing after us. Just as we got back to the initial gate that we jumped over to get into the park, we could see the man running towards us in the distance, and the dog had caught us up. Two of my friends had jumped over, but I hadn't yet. I was so scared that I was almost frozen. I was trying to climb up, but I couldn't. My hands felt like jelly, and my legs did too, and the dog bit onto the bottom of my leg. I felt this shooting pain rise all the way up the back of my hamstring and into my lower back. The dog bit again, and I knew that I was going to be bleeding, and that almost shot me into action. I quickly pulled myself over the gate and dropped down onto the other side, slamming on my left side. My friend really quickly picked me up, and luckily, my other friend had already gone over to our mate's house, who lived really close to the park. They opened the door confused, but we all just ran in and closed the door and explained the situation to them and told them to be quiet. Luckily, our friend did live so close to the park, though, because the dog and the guy with the gun came running through the gate, looking round for us. Of course, we were nowhere to be seen because we were in the house, and we could see him walking up and down the road looking for us with his dog. Now, I'm not saying the man would have shot us, or the dog would have eaten us alive, but I don't know what damage could have been done, or what kind of guy this was, and what he would have done with us. We clearly trespassed somewhere that we shouldn't have, and even though I knew it was stupid, we just wanted to explore. We weren't intending on doing any harm, but that guy didn't know that. Thankfully, our friend did live so close to the park, and we were able to get into a safe place quickly without him seeing. That's probably the scariest thing that's ever happened to me, and I still think about it to this day. The wounds on my leg healed, but I still have scars from when that dog bit me. This happened probably 15 years ago now, and I still have absolutely no explanation as to why it happened. So, I live in a really big city, and I'm an extrovert, which is perfect for me. I love going out and mingling with people. Despite living in a big city, it really has a nice community feel where I live, and this is what I've always craved my entire life. I work from home, so I get a little bit lonely. So being an extrovert, I go outside and mingle with people all around. I do this every day, and it's one of those things where everyone knows me and I know them. So why what happened only happened to me? I don't know. So one day, I just come back in after going out for a short break and chatting with some of the locals around the neighborhood, and I sit down in my chair to finish the rest of my work. It's the time of day where it's dark, but not really dark. It's that level of brightness where if you're going to read a book, you need to turn a light switch on. All of a sudden, I can see this light flashing through my window against my wall. It's flashing through in a really rhythmic pattern, and I can't really figure out what it means or what is happening. I thought maybe there was some sort of police car outside, but I look outside and I don't see any police cars. Now, there's a row of bushes about 20 foot away from where I live, and from inside those bushes, I could see someone vaguely in the distance flashing a torch through my window in a rhythmic pattern. I don't know what it meant or why they were doing it. Maybe it was Morse code, I don't know. I bang on the window and then I run outside and go shout at them and ask them what they're doing. But by this point, they were gone. It kind of confused me. Why was someone flashing a light through my window in a slow, controlled manner? Did it mean anything? Were they trying to get a message to me? I don't know. My brain was running wild and I was completely confused. Anyway, nothing happens for around 3 weeks. One day, when I'm doing my work again from home, I hear some posts come through the post box. Obviously, this isn't uncommon, but when I go to get up and see what was there, nothing's been delivered. I was certain I could hear someone putting something through my post box, as if they were fiddling around trying to push something through. But when I get there, nothing's there. I open my door and look around, and nothing. No one. No sight of anyone. This is where I'm starting to get creeped out. Is someone playing a game with me? Why have I had two weird experiences in the space of 3 weeks? I go and speak to my neighbours about it, and they say that they'll keep a lookout, but they've had nothing happen to them. This is where I'm getting a little bit concerned. I make sure that I keep all my doors locked at night, and I actually put a baseball bat under my bed just in case anything happens. Now, call me paranoid, but why is this happening to me and nobody else? What do they want from me? Is it someone playing a prank on me? Have I got a stalker? What's going on? Anyway, another 3 or 4 weeks passes, and I can hear the post box rattling again. I walk up, and I can see someone putting their hand through the post box, but nothing coming through. I quickly run up to the door again, open it, and what I see this time is someone running down the road away from my house. This is when I realize that something's definitely off. I call the police and tell them what happened, but there's nothing they can really do about it. There's no cameras nearby, so they tell me that if anything happens again, to give them a call back. This irritates me, but I decide that the best thing to do is to make sure my house is as safe as possible and to let my neighbors know again what's been happening. Again, the neighbors say that nothing's happened with them, but they're going to keep an eye out and look out for anyone who seems suspicious near my house. Another 2 or 3 weeks pass, and at this point, I can hear something coming from my post box. This time I'm ready. I run up to the door, but as I do, I realize that a letter has just come through the post box, so I decide not to swing the door open and startle the postman. I pick up the letter and open it. And that's when I realize it's not a normal letter. It's on a A4 sheet of paper, and all that's written in large letters is "Hi" and a smiley face underneath. And that's when I realize that someone is definitely playing a game with me. At this point, I'm ready for this person. I want to find out who it is, so I stay up all night. Because I work from home, I can do my work whenever I want to. I decide that I'm going to stay vigilant and put my work desk right next to my window. However, when I do this, nothing seems to happen for a good 3 or 4 months. I decide that maybe the person just gave up and they were playing a prank on me. In the end, I give up and put my table and desk back to where it was before. I assume that the person was giving up playing pranks on me and that they got bored or something. So everything's normal for the next 2 years. That's when all of a sudden I get a letter come through my postbox that says, "You're in danger," in the same handwriting as before. This is when I realise that things are going to start happening again. To be honest with you, I'd saved up enough money at this point to where I could just move out. And that's what I decided to do. I put my house up on the market and I move out. This is around, like I say, 15, 20 years ago now. I moved away and nothing ever has happened since. I hope this person hasn't tracked me and found out where I live now, but it's been 20 years, so I'm assuming that everything's fine. I don't know what happened to the house after I left. I was so scared. I did tell the police again, but again, there's nothing they could do. As far as I know, nothing's happened with the neighbours in that area. I keep in contact with a few of them, and sometimes we talk about it, but nothing's happened since. So whether I had a stalker, or what, I don't know. I don't know what this person wanted. I don't know if they were going to try and rob me, if they just wanted to mess with me. But why put a letter through my postbox that says, "You're in danger," 2 years after the initial letter? I don't get it. I don't get people in general, and I don't know what this person wanted with me. But I'm happy to say that I'm safe and happy where I live now, and nothing's ever happened to me since. And hopefully, this person has no clue where I am. I live in an area in England that is particularly beautiful. There's green and pleasant lands all around, and lots of country parks, which I'll get to in a moment. Me and my wife are getting to, but we're not at retirement age just yet. My knees are pretty busted up from lots of hard work throughout my working life and years of sports before that, so I can't really go on the paths that I want to go on. There's a local village and a school, and my family are nearby, so we're pretty well situated. Anyway, almost every day, me and my wife try and get up and walk our dogs around these country parks. Now, there's one of them which is my favourite, but I can't really use. There's lots of hills and lots of areas that are a little bit slippery for me. I really want to be able to ride a bike up and down these hills, but I just can't manage it at the moment. So we normally avoid that one. There's another one that has a beautiful lake that runs alongside the path, which is better in the summer. And there's another one that's most nearby that is pretty flat, and it's almost like a gravel path that runs for a few miles and leads back to a general car park. So that's the one we normally take. Normally, I get the dogs in the car. We have two dogs, one called Stacy and one called Happy. I know Happy's a funny name, but our granddaughter named it. Anyway, so we take the dogs, we get them in the car, and we walk along these trails. Normally, everything's fine, but this one time, our dog Happy was acting a little bit strange. She was acting as though she was getting spooked by things, which she doesn't normally. So we kept walking and just found it a little bit odd. That's when we noticed a group of young guys walking behind us, all with their hoods up. Now, I'm not particularly worried about this. They appear just to be walking around, and who knows, they could just be a group of friends that are walking around the path too and enjoying the day. But after another half an hour of walking around, I start getting suspicious. Every single turn we make, they make too. There's various different routes you can take along this path, and they all lead back to the same place, but take various different routes to get there. The chance of someone following you on this route is pretty slim, but they follow us through every single narrow winding path, and at one point they start to get a little bit closer. Now, I'm getting kind of freaked out, and the dogs are spooked out too. My wife says sometimes dogs have a kind of sixth sense, and they can tell when something's not right. Maybe this is the case, because I turn around and I say to my wife I'm going to go speak to the guys. As I start walking towards them, they disperse and walk away into the wooded areas. Now, with my knees being bad, I can't be walking over all the broken logs and slippery leaves that are on the floor, so I just throw my hands up in the air and walk back. I say to my wife that we should head back to the car, and we decide to do that. So we slowly put the dogs on their leads and walk back to the car. As we're maybe 200 meters from the car park, these guys appear even closer to us this time. That's when they realize that we're probably going back to our car, and they start walking even faster towards us. They're probably only 20 feet behind us still, but they're really making ground on us. And with my knees aching, I can't walk much faster. I tell my wife to take the dogs and get in the car, to which she does. She jogs towards the car and puts the dogs in. But as soon as they see her jog, they start light jogging too. This is when I get really freaked out. I'm not sure whether I should turn around and confront these guys or head back to the car. I decide the best thing to do is keep walking at a normal pace, which I do. I get back to my car and my wife has put the dogs in and is sitting in the driver's seat of the car. As I'm about to open my door, the guy starts to sprint towards my car. That's when I get in my car quickly, shut and lock the doors, and tell my wife to drive. We speed off in a hurry and out the gate, just as the guys reach our car. I look back in the mirror, and I can see the guys shouting at each other and pointing at each other, clearly annoyed that we'd got away. I don't really know what these guys wanted with us, and I don't know what their plans were, but I'm glad that me and my wife got away. Now, this experience isn't going to deter us from going back to these country parks again, but we're definitely going to have to stay more vigilant. This happened to me probably 8 years ago now, and I'm 20 years old now. I live in a small town. It's not necessarily in the middle of nowhere, but it's fairly remote. I'm outside of a big city, so people still pass through. I've worked the same dead-end job that I've been in since I was 16 or 17 years old. Most of my friends have moved out of town now, so I'm a bit of a loner. We still keep in touch, but you know, it's not the same when you can't see people in person. The shop that I work in is really close to this huge shopping mall. The shopping mall is inside of a quarry-looking thing. If you've seen one before, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's almost like there's massive steep hills all around, and there's a shopping mall in the middle of it. It's kind of confusing to describe, but if you've seen one, you'll know. So, I work in a shop that's probably only a 15-minute walk from this shopping mall. Every single day after work, I get off probably around 5 o'clock, sometimes 7 depending on when I start, and I just go for a mooch around the shopping mall. I find there's something so relaxing about just putting your headphones in and going and buying a drink or something to eat and just looking around at clothes that you can't afford or things that you want to buy in the future. Just having a casual stroll by yourself, minding your own business and enjoying your own company. It's something that I've done since I worked in this job, and to be honest, it never gets old for me. My job can be fairly stressful sometimes. It's not necessarily the people that work there. I actually get on quite well with a lot of them, but they're not really my friends. It's the customers that are really causing me problems. They're just so rude to me sometimes, and it really gets me down. So this one day, I especially wanted just to get out, put my headphones on, and just go about my routine, and just try and decompress a little bit. Well, anyway, one day, I was walking out of work, and typically, you have to turn right and walk around these winding paths that lead to the shopping mall. It probably takes around 15 minutes, and it's on a gradual decline all the way down to the shopping mall. That's where the bus stops are too to get out. It's probably a 15-minute drive to get back to my house, and on the bus it probably takes 25 minutes. It's not too far away, and the buses run until about midnight, so I haven't got too much problem with getting home. However, I know of this other way to get down to the shopping mall. Now, this is a particularly lazy way to go about it, but it's something that me and my buddies discovered way back in the day. It probably cuts 10 minutes off the route. If you cross over the road, there's a line of shrubbery and bushes that winds all the way down the path. Now, you would think that behind these bushes is just a gate or something to stop people from falling down the hill. But no, if you push past all these bushes, there's actually a little level of a dirt road that winds all the way down. Now, I say a road, it's kind of more of a muddy track that has loads of empty cans and pieces of burnt wood and rocks and stones all around. Probably only around 6 foot in length, and then it drops down into the area that leads to the shopping mall. It's a fairly steep drop, but as long as you're careful, you can sort of scoot your way down it and get to the shops so much quicker. Now, this is something we discovered way back when we were young, and it's one of those things that kids seem to know about, but adults haven't got a clue. It's one of those ones. So I decided that this is the route I'm going to take. Now, like I say, I finished work at either 5 or 7, and on this day, it was 7 o'clock and it was dark outside. Probably not the best time to be doing this, but I've never had any problems before, so why not? So I sort of barged my way through these bushes, scraping myself a little bit, but I'm fine. That's when I get onto the little path. Now, normally no one's there, but as soon as I jump down, four or five people turn around and look at me. They've all got their hoods up and things covering their faces, so I can't see who they are. I'm a little bit of a nervous person in general, so this shocks me, and I don't know what to say. I go to turn around and go back up the path, but one of them grabs me and tells me not to go. This is the point where I'm really scared. They tell me to empty my pockets, to which I do. They take my phone off me and my wallet, and to be honest, I'm pretty shaken at this point. I don't know what to do. And that's when someone else says, "Take his watch too." Now, this watch is massively sentimental to me. It's something that was given to me by my father before he passed away. So, to me, this is not something I really want to give up. I started pleading with them not to take it, at which point I can see one of them reach into their pocket and another two reach into their coats. They start shouting things at me, but I think I'm having an anxiety attack because the words aren't making sense to me. I'm just slowly trying to backtrack whilst they're hurling abuse at me and shouting instructions to me, but I'm frozen. I don't know what to do, and I'm so scared. This is when fight or flight kicks in. It's either try and take on all these guys or jump down this steep hill that leads to the shops. Without even thinking, I run and I jump down this hill that leads to the shops. I start rolling and tumbling and barrel rolling down this hill. I make it to the bottom, but I'm badly hurt. My leg felt broken and I couldn't move my ankle. I had a cut on the top of my head too that was bleeding quite a lot. Thankfully, someone saw me jump down and they came to help me quickly. I got taken into a little medical room that was in the back of one of the shops. They called the police for me, but there was nothing the police could do. I didn't see any of their faces and they'd run away with my stuff by now. I still had my watch on me, although the face of the watch did crack a little bit as I jumped and barrel rolled down the hill. Thankfully, I made it out safely, and to be honest with you, I'm scared to ever go back to that spot. I'll never be taking that shortcut again. I'm happy that I didn't end up getting harmed, and maybe I should have just given my watch up, but it had so much sentimental value to me, and combined with the anxiety attack and the general just surprise of what happened, I didn't know what to do in that situation. I'm not saying I made the right choice, but luckily I made it out okay. This happened back in 2014 and is one of the scariest things that's happened to me. Now, I'm not going to say specifically where I live, but I live in an area that has beautiful mountainous regions and clear lakes. I live probably only half a mile from this, so very often I'll drive up with me and Winston, my dog, and we'll take a lovely long walk along this trail. Now, I do this very regularly. Probably 5 times a week. I don't really care how long I'm out for because it's such a beautiful sight, and to be honest, I just like being alone in my thoughts. So I was walking along this trail, probably around 7 p.m., when I see a man in the distance. Now, it's not necessarily uncommon to see people on this path, but it's also not common, so I'm always a little bit wary, but for the most part, the majority of people are fine. So I just kept walking. The man was a distance away, so I wasn't too concerned. We keep walking and take another path. Now, to describe this path a little bit, it's one of those paths with lots of little stones and rocks on it, so you can hear people coming behind you. Obviously, there's not many people on this path, so I can't hear anybody, but sometimes Winston can be a little bit noisy, and he just barks at random birds and whatnot. Sometimes he even barks at leaves. He's kind of weird like that. So, we're walking along the path for another half an hour, when Winston stops and barks in the distance. He's pointing his nose just to the left, and I can't really figure out what he's barking at. I just shrug it off as he's barking at pretty much nothing, as always. Then I see some movement just behind a tree, really far in the distance. I'm kind of confused, but I shrug it off as it's probably a deer or something. I don't really know. By this point, it's kind of late, so I decide to turn back and walk back to where our car is. So, as I'm walking back, it's pretty much pitch black at this point. I'm just trying to follow the path and get us back to the car safely. That's when I hear footsteps behind me. Like I say, you have like pebbles and rocks on the ground near me, so you can hear when people are coming behind you. It didn't sound like it was too far in the distance though this time. It sounded as though the person was 15 feet behind me maybe? I can't really tell. I turned around and lo and behold, I see a man, maybe the same man that I saw in the distance earlier, walking back behind me. Maybe he was just walking the same direction as me. I don't really know, but nonetheless, I was a bit creeped out. So I decide to take an alternative path that I know leads back to my car. So I turn off on this path and the man keeps going the same way, so there's nothing to worry about. He's gone as far as I'm concerned. That's when Winston stops and barks again, but I didn't hear anything behind us. Suddenly, I see the man is about 20 or 30 feet in the distance. That's when I get scared. I pick up Winston because he's a really small dog, and I run as fast as I can down the trail. At this point, I drop down and hide behind this big broken log. Now I say log, it's more of a tree trunk, and I stay completely silent, trying not to give away my breathing, and hopefully Winston doesn't make any noise either. That's when the man jogs past and stops for a moment, looking around. I can feel my heart in my mouth as I'm praying that Winston doesn't bark or notice what's going on. I keep stroking his head, and we're just looking up at the man, looking around to figure out where we went. That's when he just takes off and continues on down the path. I leave it maybe 15 minutes, and then slowly walk back to my car. Thankfully, the man was nowhere to be seen. Now, I drive home, and I'm pretty spooked out. I feel stupid for putting us in this situation in the first place, as we shouldn't have gone out that late. Thankfully, nothing ever came of this situation, but I don't know why that man was running after us, or following us in the distance. Hi everyone, it's me again. I actually forgot to mention that I had another scary experience on this exact same path just 2 years prior to this incident. Now, for those of you who didn't read my previous post, this area that I live in has beautiful scenery. There's a mountainous region and beautiful clear lakes all around. I live probably only half a mile from this, and I drive up and walk my dog Winston there normally, but sometimes I just go on my own. This time, I was just going on my own. So I pull up and step out onto the path. I want to provide you with some scenery for what happened. I want to provide you with a picture of what this place looks like. So you step out. You're initially on this rocky path that has pebbles, rocks, and stones of all different sizes on it. The kind of trail where you can hear people walking behind you. There's a steep rock face that is probably at a 45 degree angle that leads to a lovely clear lake. And all around, there's these vast areas of mountains. Now the path that you're on, of course, initially looks big where you're standing. But the more you look into the distance, the more you can see the path getting smaller and smaller as it loops and weaves around different areas of the mountainous regions. And you see it spring up in different areas that you didn't see before. It's a really lovely, beautiful path, and to be honest, I appreciate it so much. So I start walking on this path. This is winter time, and the ice lake is completely frozen over. The rocks are really slippery and there's not many people about. Now, I don't know if it's just me being stupid and not going out at the right time, or if I just love avoiding people and like being on my own, but I always seem to go out at late at night or around this time of year. So I'm walking around this winding path, and I walk for probably 2 or 3 miles with my headphones in, just enjoying myself. Now, me being stupid, I get a little bit too close to where the rock face leads down at a 45 degree angle to the water, and I trip and fall down. I roll down probably 15 feet, 20 feet or something. And normally, on any other day, I would land in the water, get up, shrug it off, and just be a little bit embarrassed for the rest of the day. But this time, I actually twisted my ankle, and I get up, and my ankle's throbbing, and I can't put any weight on it. This isn't the only bad thing. As I say, this is a particularly rocky path, and it's hard to walk uphill on at the best of times, let alone when you've fallen down off the side of the path. And all the rocks are icy. I try and get back up, but I can't seem to get my footing and I keep sliding back down, not to mention the pain of twisting my ankle. And as I mentioned earlier, no one really goes for walks at this time of year on the path because it's pretty dangerous and freezing cold outside, so I'm on my own. After about 20 minutes of trying to figure out how to get up and going 2 foot forwards and 3 foot back, I start to panic. I really don't know what I'm going to do in this situation, and my phone has no reception at all. I start to think of what would happen if I didn't get back for Winston, and if no one even knew I was here. What about when night sets and it gets even colder? What if I get hypothermia? I don't know what to do. So, it's almost as though survival mode kicks in my brain. I decide the best way out is to stay calm and think of a plan. On the frozen lake, I can see there's a big stick sticking out of it, probably only 3 foot away from where I am. I grab it and pull it as hard as I can and rip it from the water. So what I do from this point is sort of scoot myself up 2 or 3 foot and dig the stick into the ground and push with my good foot and push myself up a little bit further. It takes me maybe 20 minutes to get to the top of where I started, but it takes me maybe 20 minutes to get back up onto the trail, but I managed to do it. And with my ankle throbbing and completely swollen, and I'm so cold and exhausted, I make it to the top. It takes me another hour and a half or so to hop my way back to my car and get in. At this point, I can barely feel my fingers, and I'm so cold and in pain. I turn my car on, put the aircon on, and just sit there for a while, just trying to heat myself up. Despite my ankle being in absolute agony, I managed to drive my car back home and get back inside. Now, I know that many of you are going to say this is my fault and that I'm stupid, and I completely agree. I shouldn't have gone out on my own without telling anyone where I was, and I shouldn't have gone so close to the edge of the path. This could have ended a lot worse, in my opinion, and I know it's not going to be as scary as many other stories you read on here, but to me, it was one of the scariest things that's happened to me, and I'm always more cautious when going out at this time of year. This happened when I was younger, and the thought of it still scares me to this day. So, I and a lot of my friends when school was out used to go over this park and just chill out. We used to play football and card games and just hang out and do whatever we wanted to do. We stayed here probably 5 hours of the day and just did whatever we wanted to and just enjoyed our freedom. I had a friend that lived close to the park, so sometimes we'd go back to his house and just hang out and play some Xbox and order pizza and have drinks or whatever. But we always ended up going back to the park and just playing and hanging out. Anyway, at around 6 or 7 p.m., they locked up the gate to this park so no one could get in. Me and two other of my friends decided this might be a good time to jump over the gate and just have an explore. Now, looking back, I don't know what we were exploring. We used to spend all day every day in this park, so it was just exactly the same, just dark. But one of my friends mentioned that there was another area that he'd never been to. Now, this area was even further back than we used to play our games, and it led to a gate that had a warning sign on it. So we walked up and peered through the bars. It looked like it was just some kind of junkyard or something. We couldn't really figure out what it was, but there were warning signs and security signs all over, so I didn't think it was a good idea. Anyway, despite me not thinking it's a good idea, my two other friends thought it was a great idea. So even despite me warning them not to, they decided that they were going to jump over and said what's the worst that could happen. So they jumped over the gate, which, to be honest, I didn't want to do because of the spikes on the top, but they convinced me and I jumped over. Now, we were just having a wander around when a huge spotlight came on. That's when things went downhill quickly. All of a sudden, I heard a door open and a man shouting. I couldn't figure out what he was saying because my heart was beating so fast. And then I heard dogs barking. Me and my friends decided that we're going to quickly run round to the area that we jumped over and get back over the gate and sprint back. But as we did this, the man spotted us and fired a gun in the air. That's when we knew that this was a really bad situation and we'd broke into a place that we definitely shouldn't have. So all three of us jumped over the gate as quickly as we could with the dog running up to us and the man shouting and running too. We jumped over, our hearts in our mouths, and started sprinting back towards the gate that we came from. The man unlocked the gate and let the dog out and the dog was chasing after us. Just as we got back to the initial gate that we jumped over to get into the park, we could see the man running towards us in the distance and the dog had caught us up. Two of my friends had jumped over but I hadn't yet. I was so scared that I was almost frozen. I was trying to climb up but I couldn't. My hands felt like jelly and my legs did too, and the dog bit onto the bottom of my leg. I felt this shooting pain rise all the way up the back of my hamstring and into my lower back. The dog bit again and I knew that I was going to be bleeding, and that almost shot me into action. I quickly pulled myself over the gate and dropped down onto the other side, slamming on my left side. My friend really quickly picked me up, and luckily my other friend had already gone over to our mate's house, who lived really close to the park. They opened the door confused, but we all just ran in and closed the door and explained the situation to them and told them to be quiet. Luckily our friend did live so close to the park though, because the dog and the guy with the gun came running through the gate looking round for us. Of course, we were nowhere to be seen because we were in the house and we could see him walking up and down the road looking for us with his dog. Now, I'm not saying the man would have shot us or the dog would have eaten us alive, but I don't know what damage could have been done or what kind of guy this was and what he would have done with us. We clearly trespassed somewhere that we shouldn't have, and even though I knew it was stupid, we just wanted to explore. We weren't intending on doing any harm, but that guy didn't know that. Thankfully, our friend did live so close to the park, and we were able to get into a safe place quickly without him seeing. That's probably the scariest thing that's ever happened to me, and I still think about it to this day. The wounds on my leg healed, but I still have scars from when that dog bit me. I live in a beautiful seaside town. Me and a group of my friends were probably 19 or 20 around this time. We all went to school together and all grew up together, so we had a great bond. Because we all lived in this same town, typically once or twice a week, we'd all go for walks along the coastline. It's a beautiful stretch of land, and if you look out towards the sea, the sea looks boundless, and particularly at night time, when you're watching the sunset, it looks like you're in a movie. You slowly see the orange sun setting just behind the blue sea. It really is scenic, and to be honest, it's one of the things that makes me love where I live. Especially at night time, this is the best time to walk along the coast, as it's a little bit cooler and there's less tourists around. Where I live is a little bit of a tourist trap, and there's so many people that come here from all around the world. But anyway, me and my friends, probably three or four of us, decided to go for one of our occasional walks along the coastline at night time. We know this really cool spot on this giant rock that we can just watch the sunset. It's right next to this cool shop where you can get candy and sweets and chocolate and drinks and whatever else. So I opted to get a slush puppy and my friend got some cokes. We sat up on the rock and just watched the sunset. Oh, just as a side note, I forgot. We got those amazing donuts too that you only get at seaside towns. If you know, then you know. The sun's gone down probably 2 or 3 hours ago and we're still chatting away. It was one of those really good conversations where you kind of just forget about time, and when you do realize what the time is, you kind of have a moment of panic as you don't realize it's that late. So we split off in pairs and decide to walk back home. It's probably around 10 or 11 p.m., but at this time of day in the country I live in, it's completely dark. So we're slowly walking along the coastline. All I can hear is the wind and the sea crashing against the coast. It's really beautiful, actually, and it's actually a really therapeutic sound. That's when I see some people right ahead of us. They're all wearing black and hoodies, and I can't really see what they're doing. All of a sudden, I can see people pointing and shouting, but as it's so windy and the waves are so loud, I can't make out what's being said. All of a sudden, I see one of them point towards us, and they all start making a beeline for us. Me and my friend decide to react quickly, and because we know this area, we decide to run back in the direction we came from. We start running, and we head towards the pier. I don't know what these people want from us, and I don't know if it's people we know or a group of people that are trying to rob us. Being this late at night, I'm pretty certain it's not the first option. So we jump over this wall, down into the sand, and we get sand in our shoes and all over our legs. And we decide to head to right underneath where the pier begins. Now, if you've ever seen a pier, you'll know that it's got plenty of wooden beams, and typically these wooden beams aren't yet in the sea until there's a high tide. So we climbed over the beams and we hid behind this rock that's right underneath the pier. At this point, the people have caught up to us and don't seem to know where we've gone. I can hear them now, and they're definitely not our friends. These people are talking about trying to rob us and take our possessions. I can't remember exactly what they said, as I was kind of in shock and my heart was beating out my chest, but I specifically remember hearing them talking about robbing our possessions. Now, this is one of the most suspenseful moments in my life. I can hear them searching around the area we're in as we're hidden behind this big rock, pressed up against it, trying not to show any body parts. At one point, I hear someone walk directly on the other side of the rock we're on. If they'd jumped over, they would almost certainly have seen us. I hear the footsteps on the pier above us too. We're trying to be as silent as we possibly can as we hear footsteps walking around directly above where our heads are. If we look above us, we can see shadows and then sudden glimmers of light as their feet are shuffling around the boards above us. This is absolutely the most terrifying thing that's ever happened to me. Now, eventually, they left, and I don't know what direction they headed in, but we left it a good 20 or 30 minutes before we headed out. My friend called their mum and asked them to meet us outside the pier, which they did, and we explained what happened. We decided we'd never go for one of our walks that late again, as it just wasn't safe. I don't know what those people wanted, and I don't know why they chased us, but I'm so glad they never found us behind that rock. I don't want to date myself too much, but I'll say that this happened when I was in my 20s. And my 20s were way before the 90s, so do with that information as you will. But I've always lived in this really small town in America. I'm not the most popular person either, so I never had that many friends. I'd have little small interactions with people where I lived and would say hello and how are you, but I never really had any real friends, I would say. Looking back on my life now, it kind of makes me sad. I feel like I've missed out on so much and so many good experiences that I could have had. I didn't even have a girlfriend until I was in my very late 20s, so as you can probably tell, I was a bit of a loner. Now, where I lived was, to be honest, a little bit run down. I used to go exploring on my own in the woods quite often, and I would make friends with the animals and wildlife around there. Now, looking back now, I know how weird that sounds, but I genuinely saw these animals as friends to me. They were always there, and I could always depend on them. There were these deer that would always be in the woods, and I loved seeing them. Now, obviously, I would always keep an eye out and not go out too late at night, as I know that weird things can happen in weird places, but I was never too scared to be alone in the woods by myself, with just my thoughts and the occasional animals that I'd pass. To be honest, I would even bring food out to the woods for the animals and leave it in the same spot at the same time, pretty much every day, so that they knew that I was there. Now, I decided to go a little bit further into the woods one day. Now, when I say woods, these aren't thick woods. There's sparse trees with not many leaves on them for miles and miles and miles. No one really goes here, and to be honest, I don't ever recall seeing another person out here, just the animals. So, like I say, one day I decided to go a little bit further out and take a route that I didn't know very well. That's when I encountered this massive wooden house-looking thing. I say looking thing because it was kind of a house, but it kind of wasn't. It was completely covered in wood, so you couldn't see the inside, and shaped almost like a slanted pyramid. This thing was huge and looked like it'd been there for years. I'd never gone this far out, so I'd never seen it, but there were no cars around. Not that they could get them through the woods anyway. There was no sign of any life. No tools. No nothing. Just this man-made structure in the middle of nowhere for absolutely no reason, apparently. Now, I want to try and describe what this place looked like, and a slanted pyramid probably isn't necessarily the best description, but have that in your head for now. So, as I walk up, you can see that there's probably 20 feet of wooden panels going all the way upwards. So I walk towards it, and the shape kind of looks more like a rectangle with a slanted point on the top, all made out of wood and kind of in the shape of a cabin, if that makes sense. Now, I know this probably isn't the best description, and I'm trying to think back to many, many years ago, as I say, but this is the best description I can think of. Now, I decide that being a little bit of an explorer, I want to head inside of this place. Part of me was a little bit scared as I don't know what's inside, and I don't know who owns this or who built it, how long it's been there, why is it there. I had a lot of questions, but I wanted to know. So I try and find an entrance. I walk all the way around it in 360 degrees, and seemingly, there's no way in. This completely stumped me, so I decide to just walk around again and try and figure out a way in. Again, 360 degrees all the way around, nothing, no way in. Now I'm stumped. What on earth is this thing? So I decide to take some steps backwards and try and figure out if there's enough. As I step backwards, I feel something hard hit my legs and I fall backwards, completely losing my balance and my legs going up in the air. I look down at my feet and try and figure out what on earth it was that tripped me up. That's when I see a lever to what looks like a door. I sweep away some dirt and some rubble and some leaves, and I realize this is the entrance. There's a little wooden square door on the floor. Now, when I say door, it's kind of like a little hatch or trap door, if you know what I'm talking about. I don't really know the name of them. I lift it up, and it goes straight down, probably around 6 foot, and then I can't see as it goes forwards. What do I do? I think to myself, do I jump down, not knowing what's in here, who's in here, what this thing was made for? Screw it, I think to myself, going in. But as I start to climb in, I think to myself, I have no light source. I highly doubt there's going to be anything in there lighting this place up. So I climb out, close the door, and head back home for the night. All night, I'm tossing and turning in my bed, wondering what's in that damn place. Anyway, I decide the next day I'm gonna head back and figure out what on earth is in that place. So, I prepare. I get myself a torch and I head back to the woods the next day. Around the same time of day, I arrive back at the house. Now, when I say house, I don't know what to call this thing. It's kind of a hut, kind of a house, kind of a cabin. I don't know what it is. It's like some weird kind of abstract art design. I open up the hatch and I jump down this little hole. This thing wasn't very wide, so whoever made it can't have been very big. I turn on my torch and I start heading towards where the house is. Either side of me, there's wooded panels that seem to be holding this place up. It's kind of like one of those really old-fashioned mines, if you imagine that, but just really narrow. That's when I get to where I think the house should be, and nothing. There's nothing here. It's a dead end. I'm so confused. Why can't I get in this place? What's here? So I'm completely spooked out at this point and realize that maybe someone's made this to try and trap you. So I head back and climb out really quickly. I close the door and head back home again. All the way home, I'm trying to figure out what's going on and keeping an eye out to see if anyone's following me. I have no idea what this place was built for or even designed for, but I really need to find out. So it gets to night time and I'm lying in bed, trying to figure out how I'm going to tackle this. Do I just break in and get an axe and smash the wall down and get inside? Screw it, I think. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to break a wall down and get in. I need to know what's in there. That's when all of a sudden I look out the window and in the distance I can see some smoke. This smoke must be in the general direction of where this hut is, and that's when I realize there's a fire. I put my clothes on and my coat and head down to the woods again in the middle of the night, trying to figure out if this fire is coming from the hut or not, or if it's just a random forest fire. I don't know, but I need to find out because I can't go without knowing what's in this place. I get to where the house is, and from the distance, I can see that it's on fire. Nothing around it's on fire, just this building. Just this weird abstract house burning in front of me. Someone must have known that I was in there. Something must have been going on in there, and I have no idea what, but they definitely didn't want me to see it. I keep a distance and try and figure out what's going on. I don't see anyone, and the place is just on fire, burning in front of my eyes. I can smell the smoke, and it's making me feel a little bit sick. I decide to keep a distance because why was this place being burnt down just after I found it? It looks like it's been there for years. Why all of a sudden would it be burnt down? I decide to head back home and mind my own business and realize maybe I've gone a little bit too far this time. Maybe I put myself in danger. Fast forward to the next day, I decide that I'm going to take one more walk down there and keep my distance again. I arrive, and to my sadness, the place was burnt to the ground. There was nothing left apart from lumps of ash and pieces of burnt wood. This place was clearly burnt down on purpose. Thankfully, nothing around it caught on fire. Like I say, there weren't too many trees around, they were fairly sparse, but it was still a fairly wooded area. So I'm quite happy that nothing else caught on fire and it didn't spread, but I'm absolutely devastated that I didn't get to see what was inside of this place. What was it built for? Why was there this door that led to nothing? Why was it hidden? Why did this place look so old, yet I'd never seen it before? I had so many questions that I know now will never be answered. That night, I head back home and go about my life as usual. This is the first time I've spoke about this to anyone. I'm still a bit of a loner and I don't talk to anybody. I have my usual encounters with my postman and the people in the local shops, but apart from that, I don't really speak to anyone. This is the first time I've told this story. I still have no idea what that thing was. I have no idea who built that house, cabin or hut, whatever it was. I have no idea of its purpose. I have no idea why there seemed to be a little door that led to nothing. It creeps me out. I have no idea why it was there, and I never will. But yeah, after all these years, decades, I decided to finally share this story. This happened around 5 years ago. I'm a 25-year-old female, and I live in a house by myself. Now, I rent this place, and I've lived here for a few years now. To be honest, it's kind of ideal for me. It's close to my work, and probably only a 5-minute walk. I have things like a local gym and a shopping centre near me, so I'm pretty much set. I don't love living on my own, but I don't hate it either. It's one of those things that I just accept in life, and to be honest, I'm just used to it at this point. Anyway, every single night, I make sure I close my blinds and I lock all my doors and close all my windows. I do that because I'm massively scared of being broken into, particularly me being on my own. So every single night, out of routine, I make sure I do this. However, this one night, I forgot to do that. I was so tired from work, and I'd been lying in bed, and you know when you have those moments where you're lying there and you just can't be bothered to do anything? I knew I needed to get up and close my blinds, but I just couldn't be bothered. What's the harm for one day anyway? Well, I end up falling asleep pretty soon after that, probably around 9:30 in the evening. I know it's not very late, but like I say, I was exhausted from work. I wake up and I see this silhouette on the edge of my window. Now, my eyes are so blurry from waking up, I can't necessarily tell if it's my brain making things up, or if I'm having a lucid dream, or if there's actually something outside my window. I wipe my eyes, and it's gone. That's weird, I think to myself. It must just have been my brain playing tricks on me. So I get up at this point, because I haven't brushed my teeth yet, and to be honest, I hate falling asleep and not brushing my teeth. It makes me just feel so horrible and grimy. I get back to bed, and I try and fall back asleep, but I can't. I'm tossing and turning, and I'm getting over hot, so I decide that I'm just going to go and get myself a drink, and maybe that will help me get to sleep. So I get myself a glass of water, and I down the entire thing. I get back in bed, and just lie there for a moment. I'm lying there probably for around 15 minutes, just occasionally flicking through my phone on low brightness and trying to just do anything to get my brain to switch off. I know that being on your phone isn't necessarily the best thing to get you back to sleep, but when your mind's tossing and turning, sometimes having a focus can really help get me to sleep. Anyway, I see this silhouette out the corner of my eye again. I'm starting to panic now because I'm definitely wide awake at this point and there's definitely something there. There's no way that's my brain playing tricks on me now. I lie as still as I possibly can and pretend to be asleep. All of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I can see this silhouette slowly moving across to the center of my window. I turn my head slightly and try and get a better look, and what I see is the outline, or once again, the silhouette of a person pressing their face against my window, both of their hands covering the outside of their face as if they're trying to block the light out so they can see inside my house a little bit better. This freaks me out massively. My heart is pounding and I don't know what to do, so I just remain still and hope that there's no windows open. The man stays there looking for what feels like an eternity, but eventually he does leave. And as soon as he does, I shoot up out of bed, close my blinds and make sure all the windows are shut in my house. Thankfully they are. I didn't want to call the police because I didn't have any proof of what happened, and not that they'd believe me anyway. Nothing's happened since, but I don't know what this person wanted. Being alone on my own scares me enough, but the thought of someone breaking in and doing whatever scares the life out of me. I'm installing some security cameras, and I've let the neighbours know too, so they're going to keep an eye out anyway. My message to anyone out there who lives on their own is to make sure you always close your blinds at night, always close your windows, and always lock your doors. Make sure you're safe. Install security cameras if you need to. Make sure you have quick access to a phone if you need to call for help. My advice to all of you is to stay safe out there and make sure your safety comes first. It's been a while now and nothing's happened, but I'm still terrified that this person's going to come back and who knows what they want. This is one of the scariest things that's happened to me, and I still lie awake at night wondering what could have happened that night. So, I'm not the most popular person in the world, and this was especially the case 5 years ago when I was at college. Me and a group of my friends got invited to a party by someone in my friend's psychology class. We didn't really know anyone going, but we decided to go along anyway as we aren't popular and these things don't come around very often. So the Friday night comes around and me and five or six of my friends decide that we're going to pre-drink before we go to the party. We get pretty wasted and by the time we show up to the party we're all stumbling drunk. So when we get into the party we know almost no one here, but we decide to have a good time anyway, even if it's in our own way of standing in the corner and not really integrating with anybody. Whilst we're standing there having pointless conversations about games and whatnot, I see someone across the room looking at me in a fairly menacing way. One of those ways where you can tell someone's looking at you even when you're not completely making eye contact with them. It's kind of off-putting, but I try and enjoy my night anyway. Thankfully, one of my friends spotted that the guy who was having this party had a pool table, so we venture over to the other side of the room and start playing pool with each other. Now, this is where things get weird. The guy who was staring at me in a menacing way and his friends walk over and ask to play pool with us. So we agree and I just shrug it off as maybe he was just looking past me or something and wasn't actually looking directly at me. We start playing and everything's normal until this guy starts losing and missing shots and he gets increasingly angry, shouting things at us and punching the table and shoving things. I put it down to him being drunk, but it weirds me out. After I win the game, we decide to leave. At that point, him and his friends block us off from leaving. Now, we couldn't get round them and we asked him to let us go. He said no, and that he had a weapon on him, and that we were going to do what he said. At that point, I'm terrified. I've never been in a physical confrontation in my life, and neither of my friends. So, we didn't really know what to do. My friend decides the best thing to do is just to quickly walk around them and get out of the room. So we sort of barge past them and walk out the door so we can go home. That's when these guys start shouting at us and following us out the house. Now the person who was having this party lives right next to a motorway, which is like a highway in America, but even at this time of night, probably 1 in the morning, it was still extremely busy. So we decide to head out and walk down the road. We start half walking, half running down the road, and they're following us, a group of maybe 5 or 6 of them. We get to a point in the road where there's a bus stop so we can either wait for the bus or cross this extremely busy road. Now, the group of guys are getting nearer and nearer, and at this point, I'm terrified. I just want to run. So, two of my friends decide to stay at the bus stop and wait for the next bus and talk it out with these guys. But me and the other 4 of my friends decide we're going to run across this road. Now, these guys start running when they realize what we're doing, and we decide to dart across this road with cars going maybe 50-60 miles an hour towards us. Cars are swerving out the way of us and beeping, and we leg it to the other side of the road. Thankfully, no one got hurt, but then I look back across the other side of the road, and my group of friends are completely surrounded. Suddenly, I see my friends dart, and they completely push past these guys and run straight across the road just like we were. One of them almost getting hit by a car going maybe 50 miles an hour. They make it to the other side of the road too. At this point, we decide to run across the road and into a local shop and tell the guys in the shop what happened. The security come out just in time to see this group of guys who potentially have weapons run into the shop after us, looking for us. The security scare them off and keep us in the shop until the police arrive. the police do eventually arrive and they stay with us for a while until we can get a ride back home. I know this may not be the most scary story to anyone else out there, but the fact that we nearly got hit by cars going 50 miles an hour, and that we had this group of guys who potentially had weapons after us, the fact that we came out of this situation unharmed, I think we were very, very lucky. So the story I'm about to tell actually happened to me. I'm surprised that I've never told this story on my channel before, but here we go. So this happened probably 11 years ago now. Me, my dad, my brother, and my granddad all decided to go to this camping resort in the south of England. This is a pretty well-known resort. I'm not going to name it, but it's a place that's fairly popular in England. So it's probably around January or February time and very, very cold. It was a rainy, cold day, but the ground was still really hard. It was one of those kind of days. And we're on the coast, so there's a lot of wind as well. And we decided to put up our tent on this sort of this area that was a little bit out of the way of other people. We try and put it up, and then we quickly realize that once we got the tent up, that this isn't a great location at all because we've been absolutely battered by the wind. So we decided to take the tent down in the freezing cold rain and move it nearer to the other tents, near everyone else. So we put up our tent and we have a pretty normal night. There's actually a place to go to get pizza and that kind of thing, so we do that and we decide to go to sleep. So I'm laying on my side and all I can hear is the rain on the tent. And I have a very vivid memory of my side of the tent kept blowing up and cold air kept blowing in my face. It was really horrible. It was a freezing cold night as well. It must have been one of the coldest nights of the year. It was absolutely freezing. I was shivering even under all my covers and everything. I was so cold. But this is when the problem started. So we didn't really take much notice beforehand of the other people around us. So in the location that we were in, there's loads of other tents around us. Like all the tents are maybe 10, 15 feet apart, and there's probably 30, 40 tents just in this little area. It's full of people. But the people that were just opposite us were making a lot of noise at this time of night, and it was maybe 11 o'clock at night, half 11, but they were making a considerable amount of noise. It was almost like they were very, very drunk and having a party almost. But I remember walking past this tent earlier and seeing kids in there, so I was kind of just surprised that they were being this noisy at this time of night with kids in their tent. So I could hear other people getting up and wondering the same thing. We could hear other people going up and complaining too shortly after this, so we decided just to leave it. So it quiets down for a while and it gets to around 2, 3 in the morning. I can hear kids wandering around outside and at first, I don't really think anything of it, but then it gets weirder because none of the parents are outside or anything, and the kids are just wandering around doing whatever they want. That's when I realized that this could go very wrong very quickly because not even 20 feet away from us, there's this huge lake, and the path that leads down to this lake is completely, it's a very steep mud path, but it just sort of drops off at the end and doesn't have any sort of steps leading to the water. It sort of just stops and then drops down into the water. It's maybe like a 2 or 3 foot drop straight down into cold water. So I get up, and so do my dad and my granddad and my brother, and we go outside and we try and figure out what's going on outside. No one else is outside but us and these kids, which is a bit weird. So my dad and my granddad try and get these kids back to their tent, and when they do get them back to the tent, they realize that these parents are on drugs or too much alcohol and they're completely passed out, and you just cannot wake them up. Like, they're all completely passed out. Like, shake when you shake them, you can barely get them to acknowledge you're there. But their kids are all running around outside, so Obviously, this is a pretty concerning situation, but no one seemed to help us. We called the police as well just to get them down, just because this isn't a safe situation for the kids at all. At that point, I decide to look around, see if there's any more kids. And that's when I spot a little girl, maybe 4 years old. I don't really know how old kids are. She was very small and couldn't walk great, but she was walking. But she was walking down that slope that led to the drop off into the water, and she was maybe 10 foot from it. So I ran down the path and grabbed her just before she fell into the water. I was obviously happy that I'd managed to stop her going into the water, but we had the problem of the parents, so we had to go up to other people's tents and wake people up and try and get them to come out and help us. And a lot of people refused, actually, which is a bit annoying. But there were a few families that actually decided to help us and stay with the kids until the police came. Eventually, the police came and did say to us that they'll stay with them and that we can go back to sleep. But I don't know what happened after that, because that morning we just packed up and left and decided that we didn't want to be around that sort of environment, and we just went. But yeah, that's my story of what happened that night. I don't really know if I've told this story very well or done it much justice, but yeah, that still scares me, the fact that what could have happened if I just say if someone spoke to me and I didn't see that girl running down into the water. Like, it's a scary thought. So yeah, that's my scary story of how I saved a toddler, basically. If you've ever had a near-death experience, you know that it's something that doesn't easily leave you. This happened probably 15 years ago now, but the thought of what happened still scares me to this day. So, me and a group of my friends, probably 7 or 8 of us, decided to head out to Crete. We did this because there's areas in Crete that are great for partying, and we just wanted to have a good time. The area we went to is very well known for having a very, very lively strip that's full of people that are fresh out of college and in their early 20s trying to escape their parents and just have some freedom. We decided to stay just a little bit off of the main strip. This is because we weren't massively into partying, even though we wanted the party experience, and we wanted to be a little bit away from other people so we could relax and enjoy ourselves still. We were probably a 5 to 10 minute walk away from the main strip, which we didn't mind too much. We went all inclusive, so we could have as much food and drink as we wanted and didn't really need to leave the hotel anyway, unless we wanted to go to the beach or go to the strip at night. Everything out there was so cheap compared to where we live, and to be honest, we were having the time of our lives. One day, we decided that we wanted to go on a little boat trip. Not one of those party boats that you see. We wanted to hire a boat, like a speedboat, and go out with just our group of friends and just explore around the area. Around the island of Crete, there's lots of little islands just off of it, like really, really small ones that are very rocky that you can actually ride up to and just walk around on. We've also heard that there's a lot of turtles in the area, so we really wanted to find some in their natural habitat. So we paid the 30 euros or whatever it was for the boat, and we set off. We got quite far out, and the water was, to be honest, a lot more choppy than I expected. I was actually planning on jumping in and having a swim around, but just because of how choppy the water was, I didn't want to get caught in a current or anything like that, and I was worried that I wouldn't be able to make it back to the boat. We made it to this really small island that was probably, I want to say, 1 mile out, but maybe it wasn't that far. But we travelled around to the other side of the island to get away from all the other people's boats in the area. We found this really cool little cave thing. Now, I don't want to say it was a massive deep cave, but it was kind of like an indentation in the actual island itself. So it kind of looked like a cave, even though it wasn't huge. The water was actually a lot less choppy in this area of the cave, so we decided that we'd actually get out and have a swim around. One person stayed in the boat though to make sure that it didn't go into the sides of the cave and damage it, because we really didn't want to have to pay the money for the boat, and we'd probably lose our deposit too. So one of my friends jumped in and actually had swimming goggles on. Underneath, they could see where there was this little ledge that appeared to go up into something else under the ground. We were very keen to explore under here, but obviously without snorkels or any breathing equipment, we know that we wouldn't really be able to make it far. I wasn't really thinking straight. This is probably due to a lot of the day drinking and whatever else, but I said that I would go under there and see where it led to. So I jumped in the water, which was honestly freezing cold and I didn't expect it. I held my breath, put my goggles on, and dove into the water. As I was going down, I could see this almost ledge-looking thing that my friend was talking about. I popped up, and there was actually a really small air pocket inside of this cave. It was really small, but I could put my head in and breathe for a few seconds at least. So I decided that I would just stay here for a minute or so and just catch my breath and decide where I wanted to go next. I wondered if there were more of these ledges as we went along, so again, I dove into the water and popped my head up again, back into the same ledge that I found before. Well, that's what I thought anyway. There must have been multiple ledges all on the underside of this cave. At this point, I realized that I don't know where the original one was, or if I even went in the same direction as before, and I started to panic. This is probably due to the alcohol again and me being completely disorientated for that moment. But stupidly, I decided to dive under and try and find my way out. I dove under, expecting to find the ledge I was at before, and as I went to come back up, I couldn't find the original ledge, or even the one I was at before. This is when panic set in. What am I gonna do? I'm holding my breath, and I can feel my heart starting to beat faster as I can't seem to find anywhere to get some oxygen. I start swimming around, and this is when I go further and further away from where I originally was. At this point, I feel like I'm gonna pass out, and my heart's beating at 1,000 miles an hour. That's when I felt my friend grab my arm, as they must have come under, wondering what happened to me and where I was. They grabbed me and pulled me back to the original spot that we were in with our boat. Just at the point where we come back up for oxygen, I started seeing little black dots in my peripheral vision and knew that I was on the verge of passing out. My friends got me back onto our boat, and I cried and was just in shock. We decided that we'd head back and get back to our hotel, so we brought our boat back and headed back to the hotel. I will never be so stupid again. Like I say, I was young and dumb at the time, but the thought of what could have happened if my friend didn't come under looking for me terrifies me to this day. I have no doubt that I was moments from losing consciousness underwater, and if no one was there to find me, who knows what would have happened to me. Hello everyone, this is the part of the video where there's no more stories. So if you're only here for the stories, then there's plenty more on my channel, and plenty of other channels out there that narrate stories much better than I do. At this point, I'm just here for the conversation at the end of the video. But anyway, how have you guys been? What have you been up to? Have you done anything interesting? Let me know. I haven't recorded one of these bits in quite a long time, actually. And I feel like I always say that, I probably do, but because I remember last time I was sitting here, it wasn't that great weather outside, and the weather's turned in the last few weeks, so it's definitely been a few weeks since I recorded this part of the video. I do think it was last time I recorded one of these bits, it was raining outside, I think, so the weather's definitely improved. I mean, it's still raining every now and then here. But for the most part, it's warmer. You can go out in just like a jumper or a shirt sometimes, and it's just nice. I really enjoy this time of year. I really think that the hot weather just improves my mood. I know there's that thing, it's some seasonal something. Is it like a seasonal kind of mood change that some people get? I feel like I get that because when it's winter and it's dark at like 3:30 p.m. It just makes you feel a bit like ugh. Whereas when it's nice and sunny outside, and you just feel, I just feel more positive. I don't know why. The only thing about the summer I don't like is that the Premier League stops, which is one of the things I look forward to all the time. But apart from that, I really enjoy the summer. June and July are definitely the best months of the year for me. It just seems like a more positive time of year, and everyone seems in a better mood just because it's a bit warmer outside. Well, I've actually heard that in England especially, we don't get enough vitamin D through sunlight, and it kind of makes sense because sometimes it'll be the winter and I think to myself, when was the last time I actually saw the sun? And it can be like weeks, and I think maybe I've seen it for 5 minutes, but I haven't really seen this. It's always overcast. Normally in the winter here, if you've not been here, it's just overcast all the time in the winter. It's raining or overcast or just drab in general. Always cold. And this is why I like this time of year, because we don't, well, our summers also are a bit hit and miss, because some summers will get like a baking hot summer, we get like two and a half sort of good months of sun, but sometimes it's just pretty crap and we get like a little bit of sun here and there and it's not really any good. Like when COVID just started and the lockdowns had all just begun, we had a summer of sort of, well, even in April it was really hot here and we had a long period of time where it was really sunny. I just really remember that period of time being so hot. And then the next summer after that wasn't. But actually, looking back on it, COVID was a really weird time in general, wasn't it? Lockdowns and stuff. Like you could get you get in trouble for sitting on a park bench with someone else. Like it was really weird. You was restricted to like one walk a day or something. It's strange having to queue outside of shops and everything. I can't imagine that now, and it wasn't even that long ago. It was just a very weird time. But yeah, I just really hope that this summer's a really nice warm one. That's what I want. I want to go to America actually. I was thinking this recently. I'd really like to go. I just don't have the money to do it. But I would love to go to like a national park or something like that. Like a what's it called? Yosemite. I'd love to go there. I've had Yosemite as the background on my computer for years now. I just really like it. It's just a very like scenic area. I don't know if there's anything to do there. It just looks really nice. So if any of you have been there, let me know what it's like. Is it worth going to? Is it going to be somewhere I go and I'm bored in 5 minutes? Or is there actually stuff to do there? And is it like a interesting place? Obviously, it's in the area that Alex Honnold free soloed El Cap, which is that film makes my hands sweat. I just can't. I don't like heights particularly, and the fact that he's that high up, with no ropes, just one slip or something breaks off and he's dead. It's terrifying, it really is. I've always thought rock climbing is a really cool thing to get into, and I'd love to be good at it, but I'm just too scared of heights, and I just can't. I don't think I'm any good at it. Maybe bouldering, because you're not that high. I suppose the max you're going to be is like 10 foot off the ground, isn't it? But I don't know. I'd love to be good at rock climbing. I see sometimes people posting stories and stuff of them doing rock climbing. I'd love to do it, but I just know I get like 6 foot off the ground. As soon as I'm like above my head height, I'm scared. So I just don't want to do it. I just think it's I don't know. There's no point if I'm just scared of it. But yeah, it's something I've always thought would be cool to do. But yeah, I don't know where else I'd like to go in the world. I've not really been to that many really interesting places. Like I've been to Turkey, which I really liked, but it was like a beach holiday rather than a like going to see specific things. There was nothing in Turkey I went to see. I mean, I love Turkey. It's actually my favorite place to go to, but I've never been somewhere. I'm not like sightseeing kind of thing. That's what I'm trying to say. I've never been somewhere to specifically sightsee. And maybe that's something to do in the future. I don't really know. But I don't really know anything that I'd really be that interested in seeing. I'm kind of more interested in events. So if I went to America in the future, I'd have to go to an event like a basketball match, or I'd like to see a space shuttle take off. That's one of my things I've always wanted to see, is like a space shuttle take off. would have to be like a solar eclipse or something like that. I'd have to want to, you know, I have to see something specific, because I feel like if I had went to New York, for example, when I went to look at the Empire State Building, I don't know if I would get there and just think, right, it's a big building, I'm bored now, or if I actually would be interested. And I don't want to go that way, plan all these this sightseeing stuff just to look at it for 5 seconds and go, I'm bored now. I don't know if that would be worth it. I'd want to go somewhere, it's like to specifically do something, and I don't know exactly what that would be. Like I say, probably we go to a basketball or baseball game, because you don't really have much basketball or baseball in England, like what I know of. So something like that you can't really do in this country. Space shuttle, I don't really know of any space shuttles that take off here, but I know they do it in America, so would like to see it. I don't know. I would just like to go and see what's about, really. I also heard the food's really good there, like just meant to be really nice, all the food there. It's meant to be bigger portions than we get here, and it's meant to be really nice from what I've heard from people that have been there. Most of the people, I keep coughing. I always get this whenever I've just eaten. Whenever I turn this mic on, I need to cough. I don't know what it is about it. Maybe I've got something on the mic, but I just need to cough every time I turn it on. It's so annoying. But what was I saying? Yeah, I know a few people that have been to New York, and they always say the food's really good there. I think I would still be interested in going to somewhere like New York, but I'd also like to go Texas. I've always wanted to go to, and Florida. I want to see a crocodile. That's why I want to go to Florida. I'd like to see a crocodile, but I don't really know how easy it is. Obviously, like I know they're in like the swamps and stuff in that area, but I don't really know how you'd. I don't know how easy they are to get to, because Florida, I say go to Florida, but Florida's like probably three times the size of England, so I'm pretty sure there's probably specific places you go to find them. So I don't really know. But yeah, another place I'd really like to go to actually is Iceland, which isn't that far from here, but again, it's really expensive to go there. And it's the sort of place you'd go to for like a short period of time, from what I've heard. But I'd like to go to the Blue Lagoon, I think it's called, which looks quite cool. And also, you can see the Northern Lights apparently. Sometimes in England, you can see the Northern Lights. Now, I've never seen them myself, but apparently you can. But I suppose they're obviously going to be more like prominent in Iceland, in that kind of area. But that's another place I'd really like to go. So, if any of you guys been anywhere interesting, let me know. Let me know where it is, and like kind of like a hidden gem kind of thing. Let me know where your like hidden gem sort of place is, and I'll look it up. Because I definitely, I'm interested in the future to go and see some places or do something in some places. I just don't really know what to do when I get. So I'd probably have to know something really specific I want to do if I'm gonna go somewhere. But yeah. I also my diet, little diet update. It's not been great recently. It's not looking good. I just got back into the biscuits again. Into the biscuits again. I eat digestives, custard creams, bourbons, jammy dodgers, a lot. It's a bit of a weakness for me actually. Food's not necessarily a massive weakness, but biscuits are, and fizzy drinks. I think I've said this a million times. Fizzy drinks for me. My biggest weakness, like a Lucozade. I love like an orange Lucozade or a cold Pepsi or Coke or Pepsi Max or Dr. Pepper. I love it. I love fizzy drinks. They're like my biggest weakness. They give me a little boost in the day. If I know I'm gonna go, I'd be like, yeah, I'll just go. When I get home, I'm gonna have like a nice cold Dr. Pepper, and it just improves my mood. So I need to kind of just get into water. I just don't. Obviously, I like water, but it doesn't really do much for me. But I feel like if I'm like really busy and I'm not really thinking about it, I can just keep drinking water. It don't bother me. And tea, I have a lot of tea. But if I'm like, say, if I've not got much I'm doing, I sort of fall into like bad habits. I need a routine. I think I need like quite strong routines, because I easily fall into bad habits with eating and drinking. So I really, really do need to get back on like being a little bit more healthy, so just need a bit of motivation. So try and inspire me in the comments if you can. But yeah, and let me know what you guys have been up to. There's going to be a charity of the month soon. I'm just looking at different charities, but Yeah, leave some comments for ones you'd like to see. And yeah, I'm going to end this here because I've waffled for a bit too long anyway. But yeah, I'll speak to you guys soon, and I hope you enjoyed the video. See you later. Bye.